Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. The year was 1963, and in America, the civil rights movement continued to gain momentum in the face of turmoil and violence, culminating in Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. The country's young leader, John F. Kennedy, was already looking ahead to the 1964 presidential election. What was happening that year in jazz? We'll hear from Jackie McLean, John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, and others in the next hour as we revisit a year of raised hopes and devastating tragedy. It's 1963, A Man's Dream, A Nation's Nightmare, coming up next on Nightlights.
Thank you.
bassist Charles Mingus performing his composition 2BS featuring tenor saxophonist Booker Ervin and pianist Jackie Byard. That comes from Mingus' 1963 Impulse album, memorably titled Mingus, 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 Mingus. 1963, a year that saw soaring oratory from the civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. with his I Have a Dream speech, even as ugly rhetoric prevailed from foes such as Alabama Governor George Wallace, who proclaimed in his inaugural address, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. In South Vietnam, Buddhist monks burned themselves to death in protest against the country's regime, and the Cold War continued apace, even though the United States and the Soviet Union signed a treaty limiting nuclear testing and established a communications hotline between the two nations. United States President John F. Kennedy proposed sweeping civil rights legislation, but he would not live to see its passage. Both he and civil rights activist Medgar Evers would be assassinated in 1963. With America already entering a period of volatility and change, what was happening in the world of jazz? Ironically enough, in such a time of upheaval, two of the most popular, iconic, and romantically laid-back albums of modern jazz history were released, both named simply after the two primary musicians on each date, and recorded within a week and a half of each other in March. We'll hear from tenor saxophonist John Coltrane and singer Johnny Hartman in this next set. Hartman, a rather obscure figure by 1963, and Coltrane, a star who had just come through a period of controversy after his exploratory directions had gotten him labeled anti-jazz by a critic from Downbeat magazine. Tenor saxophonist Stan Getz was also enjoying a professional high point, riding the wave of the jazz bossa nova craze that he had helped launch in 1962 with his album Jazz Samba. In 1963, he teamed up with singer-guitarist João Gilberto and pianist-songwriter Antonio Carlos Jobim for an album that resulted in two hit singles that featured João Gilberto's wife Astrid on vocals as well, the girl from Ipanema, and this song, Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. Stan Getz and João and Astrid Gilberto on Nightlights.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window that looks out on Corcovado. Oh, how lovely. Quem se ama, muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela vê seu corcovado, o redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim. Até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor. Thank you. quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci. O que é felicidade, meu amor?
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distant K traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. And only last year, everything seemed so sure. Now life is awful, again a trough full of hearts. Could only be a bore, a week in Paris. Please, the bite of it, all I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Is much stifling those who strive. I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those whose lives are alone. Thank you. stifling those who strive. I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rock with the rest of those whose lives are lonely too.
Saxophonist John Coltrane and singer Johnny Hartman from their landmark eponymous 1963 album doing Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life. Tenor saxophonist Stan Getz before that with guitarist Zhao Gilberto and singer Astrid Gilberto performing Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars from the 1963 album Getz Gilberto. By 1963, the world of jazz was at least 15 years removed from the age when big bands had been at their peak, and yet two leaders from that previous era were entering new periods of creativity and vitality in the early years of the 1960s. In this next set, we'll hear from Duke Ellington, who staged a civil rights production in Chicago called My People for the centennial celebration of the Emancipation Proclamation. Ellington also traveled to Europe, where he recorded the ambitious Symphonic Ellington album, and from it we'll hear the third movement of his Night Creature Suite, featuring the Paris Symphony Orchestra alongside the Ellington Band. The other swing-era leader enjoying a renaissance was Woody Herman, who landed on the cover of Downbeat in April 1963 with the headline Woody Herman's Swinging New Herd. Featuring young, propulsive musicians such as trumpeter Bill Chase and drummer Jake Hanna, the new Herman Orchestra bowled over critics and fans with its vitality. Jazz writer George Simon said the band has the almost forgotten sort of pulsating ensemble sound and drive that makes you want to cheer. Here's Woody Herman's big band in 1963 doing Horace Silver's Sister Sadie on Nightlights. Thank you. Duke Ellington in 1963 performing his composition Night Creature, Third Movement, Dazzling Creature, from the album The Symphonic Ellington, and Woody Herman before that with Sister Sadie, featuring tenor saxophonist Sal Nistico, from the album Woody Herman 1963. I'll have more of the jazz of 1963 in just a few moments. You can listen to previous Nightlights programs, including shows devoted to the years 1959, 1960, and 1961, on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music, DVDs, turntables, and more. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner, using locally grown and organic ingredients, at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to 1963, A Man's Dream, A Nation's Nightmare, on Nightlights. I'm featuring jazz from the year of 1963 on this edition of Nightlights. 1963 was another turbulent year in the unfolding drama of America's civil rights saga, and the premier jazz magazine, Downbeat, periodically reflected events. From time to time in its pages, there was mention of civil rights benefits being hosted by former baseball star Jackie Robinson, featuring big-name acts from the jazz world. For the second year in a row, the magazine convened a roundtable discussion about race relations in jazz, and the magazine provided a forum for controversial writer Leroy Jones, later known as Amiri Baraka, whose article Jazz and the White Critic provoked a series of letters, both pro and con, for months afterwards. Jones also documented the emerging avant-garde loft and coffeehouse jazz scene in New York City that would culminate the following year in the so-called October Revolution of free jazz musicians and composers. In the midst of all of this cultural and musical change, artists who had emerged from the earlier bebop and hard bop era sometimes managed to chart a new course for themselves. One such musician was alto saxophonist Jackie McLean, who put together a group with trombonist Gratian Moncourt and vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson that yielded a series of brooding, intense avant-bop albums. From the 1963 album Destination Out, here's Jackie McLean, Gratian Moncourt, and Love and Hate on Nightlights. Thank you. Alto saxophonist Jackie McLean and trombonist Gratian Moncourt performing Moncourt's Love and Hate from the 1963 Blue Note album Destination Out. The song's title seemingly appropriate for the events of 1963. Certainly the idea of love, brotherly and sisterly love for one's fellow human beings, fueled the famous speech given by Martin Luther King Jr. in August of that year. King inspired a number of jazz tributes, which can be heard in the previous Nightlight show, Dear Martin. He was a figure of inspiration to both younger and older musicians, such as Duke Ellington, who met King in Chicago while the My People production was underway. My People featured an Ellington song called King Fit the Battle of Alabama that saluted King's civil rights struggles and triumphs in the South. But Ellington was no newcomer to writing music that documented the black experience in America. His extended work Black, Brown, and Beige had debuted at Carnegie Hall 20 years earlier. In 1963, multi-instrumentalist Eric Dolphy, who had emerged as one of the most notable cutting-edge musicians in jazz, recorded an Ellington composition from the Black, Brown, and Beige suite for his album Iron Man. The music conveys the spiritual deliverance of the seventh day of the week and could also serve as a translation into sound of the vision that Martin Luther King Jr. had for the day when people of all races could gather together without hatred, violence, or sorrow. Here's Eric Dolphy and Come Sunday on Nightlights. Eric Dolphy on bass clarinet and bassist Richard Davis performing Duke Ellington's Come Sunday in 1963 for the album Iron Man. Like Eric Dolphy, with whom he'd soon work, pianist Andrew Hill had come out of a hard-bop background with his own aesthetic that extended the music into new and adventurous areas. Dolphy and Hill, like pianist Herbie Hancock, represented the new jazz modernism of the mid-1960s. Hill was 28 when he began to record for Blue Note Records in 1963, and in one astonishing 8-month period, he would make 5 albums that mapped out a creative sound world, harmonically dark and luminous at the same time, much like the title of his Blue Note debut. Here's Andrew Hill doing Black Fire on Nightlights. Thank you. pianist Andrew Hill performing his composition Black Fire from the 1963 Blue Note album of the same name, featuring Joe Henderson on tenor sax. The year 1963 will always be synonymous with two key events, the visionary I Have a Dream speech of Martin Luther King Jr. and the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The world of jazz, like every other cultural realm, was brought to a sad and stunning halt by the president's death. Duke Ellington's Middle East State Department tour abruptly wrapped up, Thelonious Monk's Philharmonic Hall concert in New York was rescheduled, and Time magazine scrapped 3 million issues with the pianist on the cover, replaced by new president Lyndon B. Johnson. In its January 2, 1964 issue, Downbeat magazine paid tribute to Kennedy, whose administration had been the first to host jazz musicians at the White House, saying that he and his wife in many ways embodied the vitality, the vigor of jazz. The magazine also noted the many letters of mourning it had received from jazz fans all over the world. Kennedy had been preceded in death earlier that year by another man, and I'll end this edition of Nightlights with a 1963 recording by the avant-garde jazz group New York Contemporary Five that was dedicated to that man, and which serves as a eulogy for the president as well. On June 11th, President Kennedy had delivered a stirring speech that called upon Congress to pass sweeping civil rights legislation. Later that night, in Mississippi, civil rights activist Medgar Evers was shot to death by a white supremacist in the driveway of his home. A veteran, Evers was buried in Arlington National Cemetery, where he'd be joined 5 months later by President Kennedy. Here's the New York Contemporary Five featuring saxophonist Archie Shepp and trumpeter Don Cherry doing the funeral on Nightlights. Thank you. I close with the New York Contemporary Five performing The Funeral, dedicated to slain civil rights activist Medgar Evers, from the album The New York Contemporary Five. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. You can view playlists and listen to previous Nightlights programs on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington, and from the Laughing Planet Cafe at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Our engineer is Michael Paskash, and I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.